I'm gonna open up with a quote from Abraham Lincoln, and let's see if it resonates. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand in which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and persevering grace. Too proud to pray to God, to the God that made us. That was Abraham Lincoln in a National Day of Fasting, Humiliation, and Prayer in March 30th of 1863, well over 75 years ago. And then I look around in this world and I'm like, we haven't grown much. Not much as if he was saying this back in the day. That just cut me when I read that. I was like, wow, that's deep. So, welcome to freedom. Just wanted to share that with you. It has to do with the message today. You'll kind of get where we're going. Like I said, that was just deep when I read it. That quote was something else. So, a couple of days ago, a former client called me. For those of you that don't know, I own a landscape company. I do landscape design and maintenance. But a former client called me up, and he said that he wanted to upgrade his irrigation system that we had done for him. It was like 3 years ago. We kind of did a basic irrigation system, and he wanted to add some things to it. And he lived nearby, so I was like, yeah, sure, let me just go by real quick. I'll take a look and see what you need. And so that's what I did. You know, we did a full renovation of this guy's yard. We did not only the irrigation system, but we put new sod in for this guy. We cleaned up his entire yard. We got rid of a whole lot of weeds. And then we put some plants in the ground as well. So I get there, and I'm pulling up to his house. And I'm like, oh, wow, what happened to this guy's yard? You know, just 3 years ago, we did this incredible, just beautiful landscaping, new sod and all. And I pull up, and I'm like, no, this can't be the house. And, it was. It obviously was. And I talked to him, and in my head, I'm like, why did you let this go? How did it get to this point? You know, how did you just, you spend all this money on this landscaping for it to look the way it does right now? So, unfortunately, that's a lot of the landscapings that I do. You know, we do a grand landscaping. And a couple years later, they're back to the way they were. People just don't take care of it. There's a point to this. I think you guys know where I'm going. The more I work in ministry, the more I pastor, the more I spend time with people, the more I see people treating their spiritual lives this way. You know, and it's hard. You know, you get on fire for the Lord one day. You get saved. You love God. And you're on fire, and you want everything that you do, you want to be able to give glory to God. But as time goes by, life starts happening. And unfortunately, what I've seen is a lot of people let life get ahead of God. And it's not easy. It's not easy, and I get it, guys. I'm not judging anybody here because I've been there. I've just come out of a season where I just felt a little bit stagnant. But I've been there, and, you know, we let life happen, and we forget about what God has done in our lives. Just like this guy's landscaping. He did a grand landscaping, but then he forgot what he invested in, you know? So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today is growth. But before I do that, let's pray. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just bring me up here, Lord. You know my heart, God, and you know where this message needs to go, Father. So I just pray that every word that I speak today, God, are the exact words that you need me to say, Father, that you open up the ears of your people, God, and you open up our hearts, Father, and speak to us in whatever way you need to speak to us, God. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to be together. And Lord, we love you. We give you all the glory, God. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. All right, so the title of my message today is Time to Grow. Time to Grow. I touched a little bit on growth the last time I preached, which was, I don't know, several months ago. But I'm going to go a little deeper into this, and it's going to be a two-part series. The guiding verse is 2 Peter 3:18. We can put that up. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So today we're going to talk about growing in grace. And then next week we'll talk about a little bit about growing in knowledge. Amen? All right, here we go. It doesn't matter where you're at right now in your walk with Christ. Some of you can be seasoned Christians. Some of you can be on fire right now for the Lord. Some of you maybe are in that plateau or in that stage of life where you're in a rut and you just need to get out. Some of you here may not know the Lord. I don't know. Some of you may be here because you want to get to know the Lord. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in right now. This message, I believe this message is for everybody here because we all need to grow, right? Amen? So first we're going to talk about what is the grace of the Lord. Just give you a little fun fact here. There are 131 uses of grace in the English Standard Version of the Bible. 124 of these are in the New Testament, and 86 are written by Paul, which means he wrote two-thirds of all the uses of the word grace in the Bible. That was pretty cool. That was just a little fact that I found pretty interesting. So we're going to talk about grace. What is the grace of the Lord? That's what we're going to talk about right now. What is the grace of the Lord? I'm going to give you guys a bunch of scriptures right now. I'm just going to fire away a bunch of scriptures, five different scriptures, four different scriptures. And I just want you to just close your eyes and listen to these. Take these in. Don't take any notes now. Just take them in, and then we'll put them up here so you can, I didn't tell you that, Katie, but we'll put them up after I read these. So that way you can just write down the reference and study it at home. Because I think it's really important to get these things in your heart, not just at church, but also at home. So here we go. Romans 3:24. "Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." Romans 5:15, "But God's free gift is not like Adam's sin. Many people died because of the sin of that one man, but the grace of God was much greater. Many people received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2:8, "God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God." And then Romans 5:20 through 21, "God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." You guys receive some of that grace, it bring you back some memories as to why you accepted Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's put that up here. I want you guys to, if you're taking notes, I want you to write those down, and I want you to take it home with you and just repeat it over and over again as you're home, as you're at work. Just repeat these scriptures over and over again. I think we need that reminder. Because, you know, we live in a society that is constantly giving us distractions. So we need this reminder of who we serve and why we serve who we serve. All of these verses here have to do with the grace of God and how we don't deserve the grace of the Lord. Yet Jesus Christ came and he died for each and every single one of us here, undeservedly. I mean, we are all sinners. Guys, we're going to sin again. We're going to do wrong. But the Bible says that we are forgiven our past, present, and future sins. Okay, that is the grace of God. Is grace something that we earn? No, no. Grace is not something that we earn. It says in Ephesians 2:8 that it is a gift from God. He loves us so much that he freely gives us his grace. That's how much he loves us. It's like my kids over here. If they fall, if they stumble, am I going to yell at them and just cast them out of my life? No. I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to pick them up, usually, unless they need to learn a lesson. No, but I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to give them grace. That's the love of a father. All right, and we talked a little bit about, in Firehouse, we talked about the different types of love. And one of them was the one we learn here in the Bible is agape love. That's this unconditional love. That is a sacrificial kind of love. That is the love that Jesus, that our Father has for us, willing to sacrifice his life so that we can live a life in all of eternity. Amen? That's the undeserved favor of God. The undeserved favor of God. We don't deserve God's favor, but he still gives it to us. We do so much wrong. We sin. We just do so much wrong as a society, but he still gives us his favor. That's how much he loves us. Now we're going to talk about some what I call the motivational grace of God. It's our possibilities because of God's grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." Like I said earlier, I'm a pretty simple guy, so I actually mashed two verses, two translations together. I'm going to give that to you real quick, but most translations use the word bless instead of grace, but it actually means the same thing. If you open up your concordance, bless is charis, charis is grace. It's the same usage of the word. Most translations use the word bless. So NLT says this, "And God will generously provide," that's also grace, "all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." So this is the New Christian translation here. That's not a real one. That's just me. This, the NCT. It says, plugged in, "God will give you undeserved favor. God will give you undeserved favor. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." I mean, that's pretty motivating. God's going to give you all of this undeserved favor so that way you'll have enough and still more to share with everybody else. He gives us more than enough so that way we're not just sitting down receiving and receiving and receiving, but we're also giving and giving and giving. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me.'" So because of God's grace, we have the power of Christ within us. I mean, that's pretty, we'll get a little deeper into that later on, but that's pretty amazing. We have the same power that Christ had in us because of the grace of God. Do you guys know what you can do with that power? Just think of Jesus. We're not going to go any deeper. We'll go a little deeper into that later on. But right now, I can't go any deeper because I'll just give some things away. But think of Jesus. Think of the power that Jesus had when he walked on this earth. That's the same power we have because of God's grace. Hebrews 14:6 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." We will find grace to help us when we need it most. How many of you guys need grace right now? Amen? Well, come boldly. Come boldly to Christ. Come boldly to Christ, because he is just wanting to give you all the grace that you need to get out of whatever situation you are in. That's a promise, Hebrews 14:6. And then 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. Not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God, who was working through me by his grace. Yeah, so God poured out his special favor. How many of you guys want God's special favor poured out on you? It's all there. It's all in the Word of God. You can have God's special favor poured out on you right now because you know Jesus, because you've been saved by grace. Amen. So that that's some ways that, that's the definition of grace. We have the motivational grace and we have the undeserved favor. So there's some things that encourage us. Grace encourages us to continue our walk in Christ. Amen. All right. So how to grow in the grace of the Lord? We find this in Acts. Acts 2:42. So the first one is devote yourself. And I think the Acts church did an amazing job of this. This was our example of the way we should be. So Acts 2:42 through 46, and I'll break it up into a couple different sections, but it says this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing the meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Acts 2:44 through 46 says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Do I have to read that again? Because that just paints a picture of the church, of the way the church should be. And sometimes when we read this, we're like, what? No, that I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to spend every waking hour, you know, with everybody else. I don't want to share my wealth. What else is it saying there? I don't want to meet in anybody's home. I don't want to have anybody in my home. I don't want to share my meal. I feel like that's the way that the church has gotten, very me, me, me. You know, it's all about me, what I want. And I deserve all of this stuff myself. This is all mine. I worked hard for everything that I have. That's the church right there. You know, we go to school every day. We go to school every single day. The students, they go to school every day, Monday through Friday. They learn from their teachers. I used to play baseball 4 times a week. I had 2 games and 2 practices, 4 times a week. How about this one? We go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts every day. They probably know us by name. I know my local coffee shop. They know the exact order that I want. I just step through the door and they're like, coffee with maple syrup. They know my exact order. I know I'm digging a little deep here. I know it's, but if you think about it, we share a lot of stuff, a lot of our things. We share our wealth with these companies. We share our wealth with Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, but but it's really hard to share it amongst other believers. And that's the way, let's put that verse up. I want you to guys just, you know, read it as we're talking about it. But that's the way the church is intended to be, right? And we find it so hard, we call it a cult. Today we would call that a cult, right? Okay, there's been a few bad seeds in the past years, but those were also false prophets, okay? That's not a false prophet right there. That is not a cult. This is the way the church should be. So if you're telling yourself, no, I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to go to church more than once a week. I don't know. I mean, look at it. Look at it. They shared their homes with each other. They broke bread every day. Yeah, it digs deep. I'm telling you, this dug deep when I was putting it all together. Or this cut deep when I was putting it together. We really got to think about what we're doing in our lives. You know, are you really serving the Lord in all that you do? Are you really fellowshipping with other believers when you go to, I don't know, a football game? And raise your hands up and praise the players? I do that too. I mean, I'll be the first one when I'm watching a Bucks game. I'm screaming and yelling at my table. But it puts things into perspective, what we you know, what we prize in our lives. The result, I want to give you guys the result of this. It's all in these scriptures, okay? If you read Acts 2:43, it's all intertwined in those scriptures. Here's the results of what the Acts church or what the church should be. Acts 2:43 says, a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miracles, miraculous signs and wonders. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. That is the result of being together in the body of Christ. Acts 2:47, and while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That is the result of the Acts church, of the way the church should be. So it's laid out pretty plainly the way we should be doing things. And it's, I get it, it can be kind of hard to do things like that. I understand. I'm not saying that I want to share my house with everybody. I'm not saying that I want to share my wealth with everybody, but you really got to think about what you're doing in your life and who you're giving to. We went to Chicago recently. We did a kind of a road trip to Chicago, and we went with my sister-in-law, and she wanted to interview a group over there. It's called the Jesus People. Who's heard of the Jesus People? You've heard of the Jesus People? Okay. So we did an interview of the Jesus People. We went to their facility. And this is a group of Christians that are living together. This is a group of people that are doing church this way, okay? They bought a huge building in Chicago, and the Lord blessed them with this. I mean, they paid $100,000 for the building, right? $100,000 for a 10-story building. It was crazy. But the Lord blessed them with that building in an auction, and they started to do church this way. They started to live this way. So you go over there now, and there's a bunch of families that are living in this building. It's kind of like an apartment building. They have their own rooms in there. They eat dinner. They eat their meals together every single day. But what I found very interesting is that they share their businesses. So there's multiple businesses in this building, and they share their businesses, and they share their wealth. So let me just give you an example of the blessing that the Lord has on them. So if you guys go to an NBA game, you probably don't see mics, but you can hear the players on, you know, their feet scratching the ground and the ball bouncing on the court, right? If you listen to it on TV. Well, there's microphones under those courts. I bet you guys didn't know that. I didn't know that. There's microphones under those courts and all around. One of the businesses in there provides those microphones for the NBA. Multi-million dollar business. They have a coffee shop right down the corner in another building that they own. And they bless the community. Now, there was a local Starbucks not even a block away from their coffee shop. The Lord closed down that Starbucks. So now they get all that business. There's a skateboarding shop in there, and they minister to all the skateboarders and the local skateboard park and all that. And then there's countless other businesses in there, and they all share their wealth. That's pretty cool. Now, that's a calling. I'm not saying let's go buy our building right now and live together, Pastor Sarah. I just want to show you that when you do things God's way, the way that it's supposed to be, he's going to bless you. So if you begin to do things the way that God intended to do things, if you begin to share your wealth, if you begin to give and tithe, if you begin to fellowship with other believers and spend time getting to know each other, if you begin to go to our services, you know, Sunday, not just Sunday, but also on Wednesday, and when we have other events, you're going to get blessed by God. The more time you spend with believers, like-minded believers, the more blessed you're going to be. Why? I believe because we're all like-minded. And I'm not going to tear down Caleb for something he did. No, instead, I'm going to encourage him. I'm sorry, Caleb. You didn't do anything wrong. I love you. I'm not going to tear him down. I'm going to encourage him. And that's what we do as believers. We encourage each other. And in turn, we're being a blessing to each other. So we need to start living this way. You know, we need to start being able to be with each other, spending time with each other. Not only that, but enjoying each other. Enjoying the time that we spend with each other so we can continue to get blessed. I mean, that's the way the Lord saw the church. That was the first church. That's the way the church is supposed to be. Amen? Another thing that kind of came to me as I was putting this together is these revivals. You know, when you see a revival, what do? They meet every day. They fellowship with each other every day. They break bread together. They eat together. That's the way the church is supposed to be. So is a revival just a modern day church? Maybe the revival is the way it's supposed to be. That made me think. We give the title revival because we're not living that way. Don't get me wrong, revivals are awesome. We're going to have a revival in Freedom one day. I feel it. But just remember, a revival is normal. A revival is normal. It's the normal way to do things. Amen. And the last part on how to grow in the grace of the Lord is to remember the past. Remember what God did for you. Remember the moment that you gave your life to Christ. How did that feel? You know, recently, Pastor Eric and I came from a minister's conference, and one of the things that stuck out to me is one of the preachers said, the greatest faith you're going to have in your life is when you give your life to Christ. I was like, whoa, that's deep. The greatest faith you're going to have in your life is when you give your life to Christ. It takes more faith to believe in something that you cannot see than to believe in something that you can. So you've already experienced great faith. What's to keep you from experiencing that? Amen? So remember your past. Remember the times that the Lord has healed you. Remember the times that God has picked you up from the trenches that you are in or from the ruts that you are in. Remember the time that God provided for you. All those things will help you grow and build up your faith. Don't forget about those things. We tend to focus on the negative as a society. I'm very optimistic, right, Christina? I'm a very optimistic person. Kyle says him too. I'm a very optimistic person, but sometimes just life gets in the way and I focus on the things that are going wrong in my life. Well, we gotta change that. We have to change our perspective and begin to focus on the good. Because if it's good, it's from God. And then number three, why should we continue to grow? I wasn't sure about adding this one in here, but then the Lord said, yeah, you need to add it. So why should we continue to grow if you've already given your life to Christ? Why can't we just sit down? We're going to heaven, right? We're saved already. We're guaranteed a spot in heaven. So why do I need to continue to grow? Here's why. To discern good from evil is the first one. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So constant use, you've trained yourself, you've grown, so that way you can distinguish good from evil. So just to kind of give you an example, a physical example, something that I saw, several years ago when I went to El Salvador for the first time, Pastor Eric was preaching, and I was in the back of the room just kind of praying over everybody. And I see this lady. The doors are wide open. If you guys, some of you have seen the building in El Salvador, Fey Esperanza. The doors are wide open. And I see this woman just walking the path straight to the door, like beeline to the door. And I'm like, that's not normal. As Pastor Eric is preaching, I'm like, that's not normal. And she comes up to the back of the row over there, and she just stands. I get next to her with another guy. We don't acknowledge her or anything, but we just stand there just praying, you know, just being ready. And she turns around and walks out. Didn't say a single word, just turned around and walked out. And if I can tell you that if I wasn't in the Word, if I wasn't praying at that time, I would not have been able to discern good from evil. And I would have approached her. And who knows? Maybe I wouldn't have approached her. Maybe she would have gone further if I wasn't there. But she knew that the Holy Spirit was there. And she knew that she wasn't going to get any further. We have to continue to grow to be able to discern good from evil. Another one is to obtain our purpose. Hebrews 6:11-12 says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy. Listen to that. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Has the Lord promised you anything in your lives? Have you asked the Lord for anything in your life? I'm sure you have. He wants to give it to you. But if we're just sitting down doing absolutely nothing, thinking and knowing that we are saved and thinking that we are going to go to heaven, but if we're just complacently sitting there, we're not going to get our promise. You've got to put your faith in action, right? You've got to put your faith in action if you want to receive what the Lord has promised. Another way to why we should continue to grow is to do things, to do the things that Jesus did. I love this one. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Let me read that again. I love that verse because it puts our power that the Lord gives us into perspective. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do what? The same works I have done. And even what? Even greater. Who's speaking? Jesus. This is Jesus speaking right here. So he is telling us that we can do everything that he did and more. We can do greater works than Jesus did because he is now with the Father. So, guys, I'm talking about raising the dead. I'm talking about healing the sick, opening blind eyes, walking on water. All those things we should be able to do. And even greater things, like moving mountains, you know. Whatever you want to do, you should be able to do it because he is with the Father. I love that verse. You guys have more power. We have more power than we know. We have more authority than we know. We just don't practice it. I love that verse. I try to say that verse to myself every day. And it's a constant growth. You know, we're continually growing and trying to achieve greater success in life. I think it's time that we achieve greater success in our spiritual walk. So don't forget that. I thought I had more. That's it. I do. I have an example, though. Pastor Eric and I, like I said, we just recently came back from Colorado for a minister's conference. And on the last day, we went to Pikes Peak. Has anybody been to Pikes Peak? Yeah? No? It's a huge mountain. Highest I've ever been. But we went all the way to the top, and it was 25 degrees up there, very windy. It took us a while to get to the top, and off, you know, steep cliffs right by the side of you. And it was just an awesome experience. We hiked it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. There were hikers there that do this on a regular basis. There were some hikers up at the top. But no, we didn't hike it. We took a vehicle to the top on a paved road. It was beautiful. It took us 45 minutes to get there. But the reason I'm saying that is because we have a vehicle in our lives. That is the word of God. And he's already set out this paved road for us to walk. You know, we don't have to make it hard on ourselves. We don't have to take the hard way. We don't have to make a hike to get to where we need to go. He's already done all the work for us. We just need to pick up the word of God. We need to open up our mouths, and we need to walk the road that he laid out for us. Amen. I'm going to end with a video. We're going to watch a quick video. And as we're watching this, I want you guys just to kind of hear the words, meditate on the words that are being said. And then I'm going to open up the altars, because if there's anybody here that feels that they can grow in their grace of the Lord, or that they just need to grow in general, if you feel that you're in a rut, you know, if you feel that you need a boost to get out, I want you guys to make your way up here because I want to pray for you. If there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord, that wants to know the Lord, that maybe this message really spoke to them, I'm going to tell you, if you're here right now and you don't know the Lord, well, the Lord's brought you in here for a reason. I want you to make your way up here as well. So let's put this video on, and then we'll have Elijah come up and do the piano.
How do we grow? By strength or resolve? Can we make it so? Can we shape the course of our lives according to our purpose and designs? Or add a single hour to the measure of our time? How can we ever venture into what is unknown when we are incapable of the smallest change on our own? Looking back over the span of our lives, we can see the marks that testify to how far we've come, how much we've grown, how much of His grace we have been shown. The marks of maturity on our lives, the evidence of the work of Christ, the seed that He has planted in our heart. The Lord has also watered and will refine every part. It is His intention to give it growth until it comes to fruition. He has sealed it with His oath that He who began this good work in you will see it through. In this lies our hope, not in what we do. But we do not grow alone. Our roots are intertwined, one with another, so that your strength is mine. While we wait in expectation, no growth can be seen. The tender shoots that so quickly spring up must grow strong, lest they remain frail and green. Would we be overwhelmed by perils in store that His timing seeks to prepare us for? Let us endure our trials with patience, for it's in His goodness that we trust and hold fast to our commitment, resting in His faithfulness to us. His goal is for our good. On this our assurance falls, that He who began this good work will surely make it grow tall.